Hey, y'all. My name is Abby Wilson. I serve as the Director of Guest Services at New Vision. I am so glad that you are tuning in to our New Vision podcast today. If you have been listening this week, you know that we are walking through Holy Week, the week leading up to Resurrection Sunday, Easter Sunday, as we call it here at the church, and are just so excited you're joining us. If you have not listened before, if this is your first time, we're so glad that you found this podcast. What we do here is we read through scripture together, and we're going to maybe have a thought or two that I'll share and pray and be on our way. I do want to go ahead and tell you that today's podcast might be a little bit longer than normal. We have quite a bit of scripture to cover, but it is all so important. So I don't want to paraphrase. I don't want to skip over. I really want us to just spend some time reading through the scripture, and then I would encourage you to think on it, pray on it, meditate on it as you go forward. If you did not listen yesterday, then I just want to give you a little bit of context for where we are at in scripture. Today, we're going to be starting in Mark chapter 14, starting in verse 43. What happened yesterday was the Passover meal that Jesus had with his disciples in the upper room. This was also when Jesus called out Judas and said that he would be the one to betray him and sent him on his way. And so where we are picking up at is when Jesus is in the Garden of Gethsemane praying, the disciples have fallen asleep. We are picking up with Judas arriving with the chief priests and the guards. So that's where we're going to be picking up at today. We're going to read all the way through chapter 15, which will get us through the death of Jesus. Again, if you are listening to this real time, if you're listening to this the day that it came out, it is Good Friday. And so today, what we like to do as a church body is sit in the suffering of our Savior. And so how applicable are these verses that we read today, where we really read through what trial crucifixion was like for Jesus, as the scripture tells us. So that's what we're going to be reading today. If you happen to be listening to this before, I don't know, 11:30 on Good Friday, then I would encourage you to come. We have a Good Friday service at New Vision every year. It's at noon. It lasts about 50 minutes at our Battlefield campus. So we would just love to have you. It's just an opportunity to come together again, to sit in the suffering, to share communion as a church body. So we would love to have you. If you are listening to this early enough in the day and can make lunch plans to join us, we'd love to have you. So again, let's jump into scripture. We're going to start in Mark chapter 14, verse 43, and I'll be reading today out of the English Standard Version. And immediately, while he was still speaking, Judas came, one of the twelve, and with him a crowd with swords and clubs, from the chief priests and the scribes and the elders. Now the betrayer had given them a sign, saying, "The one I will kiss is the man. Seize him and lead him away under guard." And when he came, he went up to him at once and said, "Rabbi," and he kissed him. And they laid hands on him and seized him. But one of those who stood by drew his sword and struck the servant of the high priest and cut off his ear. And Jesus said to them, "Have you come out as against a robber with swords and clubs to capture me? Day after day I was with you in the temple teaching, and you did not seize me, but let the scriptures be fulfilled." And they all left him and fled. And a young man followed him with nothing but a linen cloth about his body, and they seized him, but he left the linen cloth and ran away naked. And they led Jesus to the high priest, and all the chief priests and the elders and the scribes came together. And Peter had followed him at a distance, right into the courtyard of the high priest. And he was sitting with the guards and warming himself at the fire. Now the chief priests and the whole council were seeking testimony against Jesus to put him to death, but they found none. For many bore false witness against him, but their testimony did not agree. And some stood up and bore false witness against him, saying, "We heard him say, 'I will destroy this temple that is made with hands, and in 3 days I will build another not made with hands.' Yet even about this, their testimony did not agree." And the high priest stood up in the midst and asked Jesus, "Have you no answer to make? What is it that these men testify against you?" But he remained silent and made no answer. Again, the high priest asked him, "Are you the Christ, the Son of the Blessed?" And Jesus said, "I am, and you will see the Son of Man seated at the right hand of power and coming with the clouds of heaven." And the high priest tore his garments and said, "What further witnesses do we need? You have heard his blasphemy. What is your decision?" And they all condemned him as deserving death. And some began to spit on him and to cover his face and to strike him, saying to him, "Prophesy." And the guards received him with blows. And as Peter was below in the courtyard, one of the servant girls of the high priest came, and seeing Peter warming himself, she looked at him and said, "You also were with the Nazarene Jesus." But he denied it, saying, "I neither know nor understand what you mean." And he went out into the gateway, and the rooster crowed. And the servant girl saw him and began again to say to the bystanders, "This man is one of them." But he denied it again. And after a little while, the bystanders again said to Peter, "Certainly you are one of them, for you are a Galilean." But he began to invoke a curse on himself and to swear, "I do not know this man of whom you speak." And immediately the rooster crowed a second time. And Peter remembered how Jesus had said to him, "Before the rooster crows twice, you will deny me three times." And he broke down and wept. Chapter 15. And as soon as it was morning, the chief priests held a consultation with the elders and scribes and the whole council, and they bound Jesus and led him away and delivered him over to Pilate. And Pilate asked him, "Are you the king of the Jews?" And he answered him, "You have said so." And the chief priests accused him of many things, and Pilate again asked him, "Have you no answer to make? See how many charges they bring against you." But Jesus made no further answer, so that Pilate was amazed. Now at the feast, he was used to release for them one prisoner for whom they asked. And among the rebels in the prison who had committed murder in the insurrection, there was a man called Barabbas. And the crowd came up and began to ask Pilate to do as he usually did for them. And he answered them, saying, "Do you want me to release for you the king of the Jews?" For he perceived that it was out of envy that the chief priests had delivered him up. But the chief priests stirred up the crowd to have him released for them Barabbas instead. And Pilate again said to them, "Then what shall I do with the man you call the king of the Jews?" And they cried out against him, "Crucify him." And Pilate said to them, "Why? What evil has he done?" But they shouted all the more, "Crucify him." So Pilate, wishing to satisfy the crowd, released for them Barabbas, and having scourged Jesus, he delivered him over to be crucified. And the soldiers led him away inside the palace, that is, the governor's headquarters, and they called together the whole battalion. And they clothed him in a purple cloak, and twisting together a crown of thorns, they put it on him. And they began to salute him, "Hail, King of the Jews!" And they were striking his head with a reed and spitting on him and kneeling down in homage to him. And when they had mocked him, they stripped him of the purple cloak and put on his own clothes on him, and they led him out to crucify him. And they compelled a passerby, Simon of Cyrene, who was coming in from the country, the father of Alexander and Rufus, to carry his cross. And they brought him to the place called Golgotha, which means place of the skull. And they offered him wine mixed with myrrh, but he did not take it. And they crucified him and divided his garments among them, casting lots for them to decide what each should take. And it was the third hour when they crucified him. And the inscription of the charge against him read, "The King of the Jews." And with him they crucified two robbers, one on his right and one on his left. And those who passed by derided him, wagging their heads and saying, "Ah, you who would destroy the temple and rebuild it in 3 days, save yourself and come down from the cross." So also the chief priests and the scribes mocked him to one another, saying, "He saved others, he cannot save himself. Let the Christ, the King of Israel, come down now from the cross, that we may see and believe." Those who were crucified with him also reviled him. And when the sixth hour had come, there was a darkness over the whole land until the ninth hour. And at the ninth hour, Jesus cried with a loud voice, "Eloi, Eloi, lema sabachthani," which means, my God, why have you forsaken me?" And some of the bystanders hearing it said, "Behold, he is calling Elijah." And someone ran and filled a sponge with sour wine, put it on a reed, and gave it to him to drink, saying, "Wait, let us see whether Elijah will come and take him down." And Jesus uttered a loud cry and breathed his last. And the curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. And when the centurion who stood facing him saw that in this way he breathed his last, he said, "Truly, this man was the Son of God." There were also women looking on from a distance, among whom were Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of James the younger, and of Joses and Salome. When he was in Galilee, they followed him and ministered to him, and there were also many other women who came up with him to Jerusalem. And when evening had come, since it was the day of preparation, that is, the day before the Sabbath, Joseph of Arimathea, a respected member of the council, who was also himself looking for the kingdom of God, took courage and went to Pilate and asked for the body of Jesus. Pilate was surprised to hear that he should have already died, and summoning the centurion, he asked him whether he was already dead. And when he learned from the centurion that he was dead, he granted the corpse to Joseph. And Joseph bought a linen shroud, and taking him down, wrapped him in the linen shroud and laid him in a tomb. that had been cut out of the rock, and he rolled a stone against the entrance of the tomb. Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of Jose, were where he was laid. This is the reading of the word of our Lord. I just want to take a moment and talk about just the weight of what Jesus did for us, for you and for me. From the beginning of time, if you go all the way back to Genesis, Jesus' crucifixion on this cross was never plan B. Our all-knowing Father, God of creation, knew from the beginning that we as humans would be sin-filled. He knew what was going to happen when he created Adam and Eve. He knew what was going to happen when he called the world into order. He knew what was going to happen when he separated the heavens and the earth. God knew, and he still moved forward with his creation plan, knowing full well the sacrifice that he himself would have to make by sending his son to earth to live as a human, a perfect life, and to hang on a cross, be nailed to a cross, and die a shameful death as it was viewed in the culture then, to take on all the sin of the world, past, present, and future. Jesus hung on the cross, and he took on our sin, so that when we have faith in him, when we believe in our hearts and profess with our mouths that Jesus is the Son of God, that he was crucified, resurrected, and ascended to heaven to sit at the right hand of God, God no longer sees that sin because Jesus took it. Jesus took on that sin, and he now sees us covered with the Lamb's blood, perfect and holy in his eyes. This is what Christ did for us. My son, who is 7 years old, he's almost eight. He would want you to know that in 2 weeks, he's going to be 8 years old. We were driving in the car one morning to school, and we listened to a little kids podcast that does Bible stories. And it was talking about a healing that Jesus did. And when that podcast got over, Sawyer said, "So that woman reached out and touched Jesus' robe and she was healed." And I said, "Yes, she touched his robe and she was healed." And he said, "Man, we are so lucky." And I said, "What do you mean?" And he said, "We live in a world where the veil has already been torn. And even though Jesus isn't walking among us, he lives in us. And because Jesus died, the veil was torn, and we have access to God without him physically walking with us." From the mouth of my 7-year-old, I encourage you to remember that the veil has been torn. You have access to the Father if you put your faith and your trust in him. There are so many more things that I could say about this scripture, but that's the most important. And that's all I want to talk about today is I pray that you know the Father, that you believe in him, that you have put your faith and your trust in Jesus as your Savior, and you've made him the Lord of your life. And if you haven't, reach out to us. You can go on our website and see staff contacts or reach out using our Next Steps phone or link. We would love the chance to talk to you more about what it looks like to have a relationship with the true God. Let's pray. Dear Lord, Father in heaven, we thank you for the gift of your Son, for sending him here to earth to live a perfect death, to live a perfect life, and to take on all of our sin in his death. And we praise you that just as he said, just as you planned, he rose again. And he is now seated at your right hand. He is not worried and wondering what's going to happen next the way we often do in our lives. He is seated. He knows the outcome just as you do. You win. And Lord, I pray today that we would live with a posture remembering that you are in control, you are not afraid, and that we would make you the King and the Lord of our life. In Jesus' name, amen. Mm-hmm.